Hold up, hold up.
It's bad.
Dollar.
Well, 50 cents on my end. How's your breakfast tacos?
They're pretty good, actually.
Pretty good, not bad. It was like a plate, you know.
Yeah.
And I make your own breakfast burrito, breakfast taco.
Pretty much, because how many tortillas are there? Like five?
Too many.
I know.
Too much flour.
That's why I get corn.
I should have got corn. But yeah. Corn's always smaller.
That's better.
Wow.
It's still a tortilla.
I'm not trying to be hungry after.
Well, I hope everybody had breakfast or dinner or lunch or
a snake or some snakes.
Oh yeah, some snakes.
Snakes are always good.
Snacks.
Yep. Welcome back to another week's episode of
Architecture Matters Podcast.
Thank you.
Wow, it's not doing the thing anymore.
No, because we're professionals. No, I took it off.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, it's working now.
So now we have a
deadline. You got to put it back, though, for Halloween.
Ooh, okay. I will. Okay. So, past couple episodes, what did we talk about?
A bunch of things.
We went in on, go check out the previous two episodes that we need to post. But by the time you listen to this, it will have posted. It is on... projects in Texas that you can do with and or without a architecture and engineering license.
Yep.
So we go in depth on that.
So it's gonna be episode 57, right? Because that's the next one that we're posting.
No, 57 something else. It'll be 58.
Okay. So check 57 and 58, and then check this one.
Well, and then 59 is the previous episode, which talked about licensure, you know, on the NCARB website.
Yeah.
We went on to like Texas, Colorado, Wisconsin. I think we
New
mentioned
York.
Like Pennsylvania and then New York and Cali about their requirements for taking the test. So certain states like Texas, it requires you to have a master's degree, right? But Colorado and Wisconsin, you just need your
bachelor's
and you need to finish your hours, and then certain states require you to actually finish all your AXP hours before you take the test, while other states
don't require that.
Right, you could take the test during. And then of course, like Cali has their own. Cali and Washington have like their own additional test.
Yeah.
Right. So then what is the AXP?
Good question.
It's a great question. I have no clue what it stands for, so...
Me neither, but I know that's where you put your hours.
That's where you put your hours. So that is what we're going to talk about this this episode. So in May 20, 2020, NCARB, on their website, it's the Architectural Experience Program Guidelines. So most licensure candidates will complete the AXP by reporting their hours. You will need to document a minimum of 3,740 required hours under the six experience areas to complete the program. And we'll go into depth into those six different experiences and the programs.
Talking about that, like my time is coming up. So basically like every year you need to pay a fee, right? To put your hours.
Yes. You have to buy.
It's like what? $80.
The first time you buy it, it's like 100 something, like 100, 120.
Uh-huh.
But when you renew, it's like 80. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was like 80. Now I think I have to renew it on the 20 something of September. So it's coming up.
And so like some tasks may be easier to complete earlier in your career, while others may take some more time.
Yeah.
But it's roughly about like, what, like 3 years or something like that. Like, hopefully.
Yeah, around
it should,
there.
It should be around there. So yeah, the AXP are the you know, architecture experience program. It's the hours you need to report that you get during your tenure of working. Mm-hmm. And this could be during internships. This could be during your full time. This could be, you know, to my understanding, don't quote me on this, but so you report your hours to someone and they need to approve it. That someone's usually someone you work with, mm-hmm. Because they know what you're doing, right? So that person, yeah, to my understanding, has to be licensed.
Yeah.
But you can work like for a contractor or work like somewhere else doing architectural, you know, things, let's say. And, you know, whoever you're reporting to can approve it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not 100% sure if the person has to be licensed, but I'm, you know, that's my understanding.
Yeah.
But like, you don't have to work at an architecture firm to be able to complete these hours. You could work for, to my understanding, like an engineering firm.
Right.
If you know, your tasks are falling under these categories that we're going to talk about, or a contractor, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Damn.
So, you know, obviously the goal is like, we all want to be licensed, right? But before we, you know, once you start working, you kind of get in, you're just trying to learn the new environment and learn your task and learn the people. You kind of put this on the back burner. You kind of forget about it. So before we even start talking about like what we do at work, what, you know, to get people prepared for that, let's get in their mind that like, hey, don't forget about AXP hours. Mm-hmm. Because I would recommend every 6 months submitting your hours. Mm-hmm. I believe you can do like 8 or something, but like once it hits a certain amount of months, your hours only count as like 50%. Mm-hmm. And just like twice a year, every 6 months, just submit your hours.
I think we talked about this, if I remember, in one of the podcasts, but like it was back a few, and like for me, I started late. Like, mm-hmm, I totally forgot about AXP, and I think I started like filling my hours maybe like a year later.
Mm. Did they all count?
I had so many, so I'm sure they did, because mm-hmm, now I'm done with that, you know? Like, right, it took me not too long.
You finished all of them?
Well, like, let's say, like, the construction area.
Right.
That's done. And then I think right now, as whatever the AXP app says, mm-hmm, I'm like 58% done of the total hours.
Total.
But, like, there's stuff that I have been... like it's submitted, but it's not yet approved. Right. So it's probably going to put me in like 60-70%.
Right. And I know in episode 44 with Megan and Colin, we talked about licensure, because mm-hmm, Megan is a licensed architect and Colin's in the middle of testing.
Yeah.
Hope that's going well for him. Over in Salt Lake, we miss you, buddy.
Oh, I know.
So we definitely talked about tests and studying. Two. Mm-hmm. We definitely talked about like the ARE exams, which we'll talk more about in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, their studying habits and the tests and, you know, getting licensed and being in that process. So
yeah,
that's also another good one. But let's get into the AXP categories. It's a bit of reading. I recently did this with a coworker, and it's a bit of reading, but it's important. And, you know, we won't go through all of it. You know, we'll go through all six, but let's not go through like the whole description. Mm-hmm. But what's important is
how many hours is required.
How many hours are required? Things overlap, and so like it says this, but what is that? Like
definition, yeah.
What does that really fall under? So, your boy over here balling, you know.
Nice.
You know, always gotta be working hard. Mm-hmm. But all right, so there's six categories mentioned like 5 times. So yep, there's practice management,
mm-hmm,
project management. That's early on stuff. We'll get into it. Then there's programming and analysis, which could be like concepts, project planning and design, concepts, you know, SD, schematic design, project development and documentation, design documentation,
mm-hmm,
design development DD, or construction documents CD. Then there's construction and evaluation, which is CA. RFIs, things of that nature. So let's get into the first one, practice management.
So this one is 160 hours, which is not that many if you think about it. That's easy.
That's all that's required?
Yeah. And it says, this is basically like where you gain competency in running an architecture firm.
This is...
Basically managing the business, right?
And this requires the least amount of hours. All the other ones are more.
Oh, dang, yeah.
But it could be a tough one to get.
True.
And so let's explain, like, what are some tasks? Just a couple. Or they have a description.
No, yeah, they do. They have tasks.
The definition on top. So practice management is where you will gain competency in running an architecture firm. This is your chance to learn the ins and outs of managing a business, marketing the firm's capabilities, securing new projects, working with clients, and sustaining a positive and professional culture. And then there's some examples. So let me ask you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
When it says securing new projects, to you, what does that mean?
Securing new projects? Mm-hmm. Like making sure you win the project.
Okay. Working with clients, what does that mean to you?
Well, communication, mm-hmm. you know, being in touch with them. Like, hey, what do you need? You know, budget or anything like that.
So maybe if I'm writing an email or like a couple times a week, I'm sending the client emails. I'm working with the client.
Yeah.
Would you consider that some hours?
Well, yeah, because you know you're basically treating your side chick right there.
Or let's say you travel to Austin mm-hmm. to meet with the client mm-hmm. to discuss about you know the design.
I think anything about the project related that you're with the client mm-hmm. that should be managed in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was stealing.
But in the tasks, it might not say that.
Maybe, but then look, it says develop professional and leadership skills within firm.
Okay, so that's
Basically connected with me and you know.
Right, and I mean that doesn't have to do with the client, but that's if you're leading the team, you're leading the office, you're setting up new.
Like, basically
you know, like if you're setting up new tips and tricks and you're doing something that's been helpful and I think other people are picking up on mm-hmm. is like this 2020 like vision presentation, you know, where we're teaching a lesson learned. I mean that could fall in.
Ooh,
that's a good one to bring up.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a note for my own self.
Talk to El Jefe and see if that can slide in there.
Yeah, yeah.
What's another good one on here? Maintain positive work environment within firm.
There you go. That
facilitates cooperation, teamwork, and staff morale.
Hey.
Okay, so if you're the one that's planning the events, if you're the one, you know, keeping everybody's morale high, if you're the one making sure it's a positive work environment, you might want to throw some hours in there, not me.
Yep.
I mean.
I was.
All right, but some other things, you know, adhering to ethical standards and codes, complying with laws and regulations governing the practice of architecture, you know, making sure that we're following code in our projects, you know, that's PICPM level stuff.
But like, think about this, there's practice management and project management. There's total different thing.
Right, but okay, but now check this. Wouldn't you say adhering to laws, complying with laws and regulations governing the practice of architecture?
Project management too.
But it's under practice management.
Right.
But that's a project management job as well.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Things can bleed under, into each other.
You can spread them out and then add them in different categories.
One of them, project development documentation. You're going to get that the most. If you're working in Revit, if you're working in BIM, if you're documenting, projects, you're going to fill that quick.
Yeah.
So I was advised that, if it's clearly project development and documentation, but it can bleed into another segment, bleed it because you're going to get so many hours.
I think it also depends on whoever is like accepting your hours. Well, if you have that conversation with them and then you get to one point that both of them agree to.
Sure.
Like ask all your questions. Hey, I do this, I do that. Can I add them on this side? Or are this allowed? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And if she or he agrees, then go ahead.
You don't want to cheat yourself. So it's good, like you're saying, you have that mentor where you can discuss, hey, this is what I've done. I think this can fall under this category. Do you agree? Would you approve that? Or like, I'm not sure where this goes.
Yeah.
Can you help me decide? You know, you should have,
or like, hey, how can I get more practice management hours, because I don't have that many.
Right. So the second one is project management.
This 0 hours.
Zero?
Yeah,
I got 40.
Oh wow, nice.
So you need 360 hours.
Well, let's see. Maybe like, you know, stuff I'm doing, maybe will fall into that.
Yeah, well, because you're project management. So by definition. Mm-hmm. It is project management is where you would gain competency in delivering quality projects per contractual requirements. Well, we do that.
Yeah.
But the tasks, we might not do the tasks, but that one statement where we gain competency
in delivering
quality projects.
Yeah, well, that word delivery.
That's key.
Hey,
that could be key.
I deliver this drawing.
I did A1 through A5. That was all me.
There you go.
This area deals with planning, coordinating, overseeing, executing processes and strategies that result in a successful project.
Okay, coordinating.
That sounds like PA stuff.
Yeah, but like coordinating. Like, what if one time you were coordinating with one of the consultants then you had a meeting with structure, with the overlays?
Sure.
If you're, the unit
if
plans.
You're, yeah, if you're overlaying MEPs over your units, I mean, and it took you 3 days to do it.
But then you're over here with the meeting with structure, like, hey, we're coordinating, or you're sending the backgrounds.
Right. So, okay, well, sending backgrounds, meeting minutes, running meetings. What, you know, but that's a lot
does that fall into?
It sounds like it falls in under it. and this is all like, it's under interpretation, just like Fair Housing, just like ANSI,
right.
Just like IBC.
It
depends who's reviewing it. So let's reemphasize what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, communicate with your mentor or whoever's, you know, overseeing. Agreeing on your your hours.
And again, you don't want to just cheat yourself because...
No, you got to be... I mean,
you got to be honest.
Be honest.
And tell your mentor.
Yeah, communicate.
Like, I'm not trying to just cheat the system. I want to make sure I actually learn it because one day.
Don't cheat yourself.
One day you got to take these tests.
Exactly.
So these tasks below will help you broaden your understanding of quality control, contract and consultant management, budgeting and overscheduling, development of project teams, and overall project control.
Yeah. Tasks. Let's see. Hey. Conduct periodic progress meetings with design and project team. Nice. Coordinate design work, of course, of consultants. There you go.
That's what we're talking. Coordinate design work of in-house team members.
Hey.
So if you're here giving daily tasks, if you're here making a schedule on the board with who's doing what, by when, you know, pencils down this day, deadline this day, those hours can fall under it. Now, typically, I would think that's a PA's responsibility. But
yeah, this sounds like more PA.
Right. But I would also say, you know, we can all do a little bit of everything. Like in architecture school, they do teach us about a little bit of engineering, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, we need to be well-rounded. Like we should know whether or not the mechanical vents can go through a glulam beam. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they can or can't go through a load bearing wall, right? So it's on my understanding since, you know, recently is you want them going through a load bearing wall.
Yeah.
You don't want them going through the glulam, right? So like just as we need to know a little bit about these other disciplines so we can make sure they're doing their right job.
Yeah.
We need to know a little bit about, you know, the design staff's job, right? The PIC's job, the PM's job, the PA's job, because we can jump in and start helping and get some of these hours, even though that's not really our sole responsibility on the team, but we can still help out and win these hours.
Yeah. And then once you're done,
you're not getting paid for it, but I mean, it shows a lot because you're stepping up and you're getting the experience.
I mean, eventually you will get that money back, you know, because if you're all, you know, you learn, you know what you're doing, that's going to take you up.
That's going to raise you up. Some ammo in the back pocket for your 1 year.
Yeah.
Determining a design fee budget, you know, determining the project schedule, the scope of services, you know, preparing contracts with the owners and the architects and the consultants, you know, participating in pre-construction and pre-installation and things of that nature, monitoring performance of the design team consultants.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of that would fall under project management.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the
fun stuff. The next one.
Programming and analysis. Mm-hmm. You need 260 hours.
I have
your boy only 20. Your boy probably only did this at his previous office. This and project planning.
Nice.
So Go ahead.
I have 20 hours. Okay. Out of, so I have 240 remaining.
I have 347.
What?
And I only needed 260.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. You can put more than
the minimum. That it needs to. Yeah.
And the reason why I did that is because the 87 hours that I went over, I felt like it didn't really fall under any other category. And I wasn't going to not submit them.
Okay, yeah, question. So definition says programming and analysis is the first phase of a project. Often referred to as pre-design.
Or concept.
Concept. So what about SD? Does this fall into that or no?
The task might fall under SD. Because sometimes some firms don't do concept packages. They just start in SD.
Right.
So
certainly, so what do you think? Like, do you think you could be adding your hours on, like, for an SD set in here?
Possibly, and we can go through that. Because sometimes, like sometimes SD for another firm is 2D line work, you know, real conceptual colors. Yeah. And DD, that's when they really get into it. But for us, that's not the case. We're already in Revit and SD. Right. So it depends where you work. It depends the type of work you do.
This is like if you do like a density study. Sure. Like
it's big zoning. It's big pictures.
You know,
you're establishing the project. You're researching zoning. Mm-hmm. Evaluating client requirements.
Yeah.
Ordinances, site data.
This is basically if you're in the design team.
Yes, much. This is more design team, but like you said, like if you're in production, you're doing SD, this could fall under it. So, for example, some task would be analyzing existing site conditions, assessing the environmental impact.
Yeah. Look, it says establish project design goals, develop conceptual budget.
Oh, with the budget? No.
That's not budget, but like that's basically.
Well, design goals.
Yeah.
Right. That's conceptual. Evaluating opportunities and constraints of alternate sites. So like when you're doing your height limitations and your setbacks and you're doing the site plan, a lot of site plan work could go towards this.
Yeah, look at this one. Prepare site analysis diagrams to document existing conditions, features, infrastructure, and regulatory
requirements. So if you're in SketchUp modeling the site, I mean that you know, you're documenting the existing conditions, the infrastructure, preparing diagrams, illustrating spatial relations and functional adjacencies, determine impact of existing transportation infrastructure on site. So it's a lot of it sounds like a site driven and like conceptual, like budget for the and fees for that portion of the process.
Like whenever I was doing this site analysis per se in Austin, for this one project.
Right, that would go under.
Yeah.
See, but like during the during our concept phase, we do a lot of site plan.
Yeah.
That falls under it. Mm. But you know, you're not hitting all the tasks, you're just hitting like one or two if you're on the design
hours.
Right, you're still getting some hours, and if you do that a lot, now on the design team, like you'll probably hit a lot more.
Yeah.
So the next one is project planning and design. This is the fourth, 4 out of 6. I forgot what they even called. Programs?
Oh.
I guess they call them programs. You need 1,080
hours.
Hours.
Mm-hmm.
So project planning design.
Project planning and design occurs during the schematic design phase of a project.
So this is more specifically on schematic design. But like I said, every firm does schematic design different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're
that's why I wanted to bring that question because I know if you're in SD or DD, this falls into that.
Yeah, but maybe at another firm, SD is all conceptual SketchUp stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It depends where you work. It depends on your mentor. It depends how you interpret this. It depends where you need your hours.
Communicate.
Yeah. So when you, this is when you will begin to lay out your building, meet with your clients, review applicable codes, coordinate schematics with your consultants, Getting experience reading and applying building codes and regulations, coordinating with mechanical. You see, it says coordinating with mechanical and structural engineers, but we don't do that until DD.
Yeah.
So if in DD you're coordinating, well, you can put it under project planning and design.
Yeah. This is a short list of tasks, though. It's like, if it's
a it's not that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of those are what?
So this one says design landscape elements for site. Hey, if you're adding if you're adding a tree, there you go. You can add it there. Yeah, it's heavy. Select materials, finishes, and system based on technical properties and aesthetic requirements.
You see, now that's something the design team for us would be doing.
Yeah, but like, let's say that this facade doesn't matches, like,
well, most 99% of the time,
exactly. So you had to like tweak it a little, then sure. You're basically changing.
You can put 30 minutes.
Come on,
you can move some 30 minutes over.
You just add an hour. You're like, by the time you know you were able to think about it, and then. Mm-hmm. Now you're working on it. Yeah, it's an hour. Come on.
So you're developing some mitigation options. Some sustainability goals. Evaluating results of feasibility studies to determine, you know, the project's technical viability.
Yeah.
Performing building code analysis, preparing cost of work estimates, preparing design alternatives. For review, you're presenting your design ideas to clients orally. That's important.
Yeah, nice.
You're reviewing local, state, and federal codes. And this is the thing. Like, yeah, sure. I've looked at Austin's, you know, TCM, transportation, whatever, for about, you know, parking garage, parking stall sizes and the column, whether the column could be, you know, in the
offset or in.
It needs to be striped around, or if it could be in the middle of the stripe and bleed into the stall, blah, blah, blah. So, like, am I documenting? Oh, I spent 45 minutes this day looking at the code. And then this day, I spent, you know, an hour because I had to, you know, review it and print it and show my boss and this and that. Like, no, I'm not like, oh, 27 minutes I looked at the code. No. But it says, you know, you're reviewing local, state, and federal codes. So, like, yes, those hours can go under this category.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, 6 months later, you're not going to remember specifically how many hours. So you do have to kind of, like, be disciplined and diligent in tracking.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything kind of bleeds into each other. Because, like, I could be like, oh, 8 hours I worked on this project. Well, like, I could have hit three different categories in those 8 hours, but I wasn't.
But I mean, if you do like
my own timekeeping,
yeah, like if you keep your time, like, okay, 30 minutes today, whatever, and then another day that you redo the research on the code and write it down and just keep adding those. Yeah, that way, you're like,
but you don't have time during the day to be doing that. That's not what you're thinking about.
No, but like, if you go home and you remember, then yeah. Or like,
well, so how do you keep track of what project you work on and what hours you're working on?
So every time I do my timesheet, I print them, and then I put the dates from this week to this week.
You worked on project A.
I mean, I just do the date, and then I open the timesheet, and it tells me, and then I, you know.
But how do you know? Okay, but like, I don't care you worked on project A, B, and C. I care about the task.
I know. So whenever when I print my timesheets, it says the notes. Every time I add the notes, then I'm like, oh, I was working on A5 series. Okay, I did, you know, some CDs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I was doing that design study for this project. Mm-hmm. Okay, how many hours did I took? Okay, that was 6 hours. Okay.
Exactly. You don't want to be hyper specific, but you do want to generalize the series. I'm working on units. I'm working
on overalls, whatever you're working on. Yeah. You
know, I was doing meetings.
Red lines
or picking up or making red line. You know, you want to be a little specific. Old school way, you can jot it down in your notebook, and then because I actually my previous coworker, he would write down all his timesheet basically himself in his notebook.
Mm-hmm.
So then at the end of the week, he could look at what he did and submit it.
Yeah.
So you could also keep track of like the tasks per week. But I think a lot of firms use like a program to submit your hours where you're allowed to add notes.
Yeah, like an Excel sheet.
It's pretty good. So that is getting more into project planning and design, more in SD. The last two are project design, project development and documentation, and then construction and evaluation. PDD is what they call it. Mm-hmm. Project development and documentation requires 1,520 hours.
Okay, guess how many hours I've...
Too many.
So right now I have 2,404 hours.
I have 1,612. Nice. So, okay, so like when did you start working? I started working...
2020.
January 2020.
May 2020.
You started May 2020. We've already... I finished project plan and design, project development and documentation. And like those you get quick. Mm-hmm. You're most likely going to be getting that. So like...
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm still going to be getting project development and documentation for the next...
Who knows when.
Forever.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. But a lot of these
But tasks, then the good thing is like you still get hours for project planning, programming and analysis, mm-hmm. and then maybe practice management, and then you for sure should get CA, which is construction and evaluation.
Right. And I'm going to explain why project development and documentation, a lot of those hours you should be putting somewhere else, because you're going to have a million hours at the end of the day, and yeah. those could be better used somewhere else. Now, you're not cheating, but... we'll explain it into the definition. So
yeah.
the definition for project development.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
Dang, we're getting attacked or what? We're getting robbed out here?
Dude, it's a freaking squirrel.
Does she bark at the mailman?
What is
it? Not she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
So project development and documentation occurs after the client has approved the schematic design. In this practice area, you will refine the design by coordinating details and selecting materials. So after SD is DD, or design development.
Yeah.
You will prepare documents to obtain the necessary building departments, approvals, and create the written and graphic instructions used for construction of the project. These documents must be accurate, consistent, complete, and comprehensible.
Oh my God, I love the list of tasks. It just gets like smaller and smaller.
Seven bullets. So the first one, hear me out. Communicate design ideas to client with three-dimensional 3D computer-aided design software. But wait, Diana, I thought we said... if we're on the design team, modeling and SketchUp, which is a 3D software, that could go towards other...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So technically, the design team, who's only in SketchUp, 3D modeling, could be putting some hours towards project development and documentation.
Yep.
Because one of the tasks is
communicate design ideas to client.
With 3D software.
It doesn't say like
Revit,
what,
ArchiCAD,
or like BIM. What kind of like design.
Exactly. Right? It just says communicate.
Nice. Come on, guys.
So, you know, that's where I'm saying things bleed over. Now,
yeah.
Now, if I'm, you know, it depends. Like, if you're a designer,
mm-hmm.
you're obviously going to get a lot of the other. You're obviously going to get a lot of programming and analysis.
Like, let's
so if
say
I, who, so if I was them,
uh-huh.
maybe a couple hours a week, I would put those hours towards project development
mm-hmm.
because I know I'm going to have way more programming and analysis, way more project planning design, and I don't need that much. So I'm going to spill it over.
Yeah, but also like, let's say, because programming and analysis is only 260 hours.
That's what I'm saying. But,
yeah.
But that's all you do for 2 years?
Yeah,
It can bleed.
And now, you can easily finish on the other one.
Now I wouldn't put all your hours that you're doing under this because there's other tasks you want to make sure you're learning.
Yeah, but also check this out. Like, what if you're doing the project development and the documentation, right? But mm-hmm. then your mentor or whatever is signing your hours, like. This is only construction. You cannot bleed it out. You cannot.
Well, then.
Then you're fucked.
Then you need a new mentor.
Yeah. Yep.
Give him the boot. This is what I think about him. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so another one is communicating with 2D, computer-aided software, mm-hmm. Rhino, CAD, all that fun stuff. Communicate design ideas to the client graphically. What does graphically mean?
Wow.
What does graphically mean?
Just send him a PDF.
Send him a... I mean, graphically could be anywhere from a sketch.
Yep.
To I was a about render. To To a finished floor plan, mm-hmm. to 2D line work,
to even like
axles,
yeah.
I mean anything. Any, so like, but
a section.
But during any type of, I mean,
even if you want to draft it, fuck it. Well,
density studies.
Yeah.
But I thought density studies were practice management.
Oh, that's right. But you can bleed them out.
You can bleed them out. That's what I'm saying.
That's the word of the day.
That's the word of the
bleed
day.
Bleed it out.
Bleed Come it out. On. Like just.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like a lot of things, they, you know, because
hey, man, hold on. Communicate design ideas to the client using hand drawings.
But we're hand drawing at a different phase. We're not doing that in DD.
But you were doing that in a schematic.
So bleed it out. Yeah.
You're hand drawing sketches from the beginning.
Yeah.
Hey, no. You're doing details. Oh, hand drawing. Oh.
I mean, yeah. You never know. But this is the thing too. This entire AXP, this can range from a little shed, mm-hmm. to a micro studio, a micro home, to a, you know, a retail project, to a multifamily, you know, complex. So yeah. Like, you know, on a smaller project, the phases are different. So like really, like we're thinking of it in the sense of a multifamily, you know, it's 500 a unit apartment, right? Mm-hmm. A podium, a, you know, whatever. But if we're thinking about it in a smaller sense, you're doing a little coffee shop. Mm-hmm. That's why things are definitely easier to bleed.
Because, oh yeah, because you're doing because
you,
bit of
you basically start DD right away and you're sketching.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Cool.
So preparing submittals for regulatory approval, which is, you know, we all do that. Select furniture, fixtures, and equipment that meet clients' design requirements. Furniture, not so much. Well, what we do, but definitely fixtures.
But like, let's say like the unit mix or
no.
What is that called?
Unit mix is part of something else. We passed it.
But hey, update cost of work estimates. What if like you added a new unit or like
yeah, but yeah, we're
like
we're,
the square footage.
We're affecting
of the, unit.
The cost.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're not like really messing with the numbers and updating what the numbers.
Right. No. But what is that other one? The man, I can't remember the name.
Well, if you don't remember, I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I wanna just bleed it out. So then the last one, which is the hardest, your boy got only 2.5 hours.
2.5.
Yo, I gotta get something.
I got 17 hours.
Okay, now hear me out. This, okay, obviously construction evaluation, we all know what's going on site visits, right? Uh-huh. But site visits isn't the only thing, but it's pretty much like the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
You need 360 hours. What's up, girl?
Uh-huh.
Look at her.
She's trying to play.
Yep. You need 360 hours. This, you know, gets you involved in the construction administration and post-construction, mm-hmm. evaluation phases of the project while the construction team is at work, you know, working hard. And shortly after it's completed, the architect continues to be actively engaged. So the drawings are done, but you still stay engaged. Yeah. This experience, here we go. This area gets you on the job site. Mm-hmm. Meeting with contractors, clients, building officials, etc. You will gain experience in contract execution, revision of contractor submittals, field observation to ensure quality of the work. So basically, you're going on site, you're meeting with the contractors, clients, building officials, and you're reviewing the submittals from contractors.
Yeah.
So some tasks are, go ahead.
Respond to contractor requests for information, which is RFIs.
RFIs.
Yeah.
Manage project closeout procedures, you know, reviewing applications and certificates. So like the big thing is like you're going on site and you're completing RFIs, requests for information. They don't understand something in the drawing. Mm-hmm. You're going to respond or fix the drawing.
Yeah.
So now we, but that's not all a CA does, right? A CA, a construction administrator doesn't just go to the site and doesn't just review RFIs. Right?
No.
At a certain point in the project, they start looking at the drawings before the building's even built.
Right.
Right? They start redlining certain things like, hey, you know, I don't see this detail. Or like, hey, you know, the architect's telling the engineer, review engineer drawings for the waterproofing, but then the engineer is saying review the architect drawing for the waterproofing detail, and like nobody's got it, and we're all just pointing fingers, right? Mm-hmm. So he'll catch stuff like that. He'll catch like, hey, this wall needs to be load bearing, or this wall's tagged wrong, or you need some more dimensions here and there. So
yeah.
So you're telling me the PA, right, who's redlining a DD set, can get some CA hours, because technically that's what a CA does when he's in the office. He's reviewing DD and CD projects, mm-hmm. making sure there's gonna be less RFIs in the future.
Yep.
But if you're like, if we're doing that, like, yes, that falls under other categories, but I'm already gonna get those other categories. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm never gonna get CA, so let me bleed let me bleed it out.
Yeah.
Let me suck out an hour or two. I mean, to me, it makes sense, but I'm not gonna do, all 360 hours of me doing red lines, because that's not the point. You know, it's only part of the point.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you have so many projects, and let's say you have, I don't know, one project. Every site visit is every once a month, so once a month, let's say you go. For four hours.
Maybe.
I've gone almost the whole day. Why? Because it's a big project, so you gotta walk mm-hmm. to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then there's a meeting where you're in the meeting with a contractor, and then mm-hmm. sometimes the civil comes, or and then whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that meeting takes, I don't know, an hour, and then you're doing, you know, money, making sure everything is going the right, mm-hmm. you know, you're staying on whatever,
going out for lunch,
that too, so that's another hour.
Another hour. We're talking about business, it's on the company dime.
So see,
well, I had to drive 2 hours to get there. So what about if you fly somewhere? Are you counting the flight?
Maybe.
But are you sleeping on the flight?
Maybe.
All right, Coda. Thank you guys for tuning in to another week's episode of Architecture Matters Podcast.
Yep.
Hope you guys learned something and enjoyed this conversation regarding AXP hours. The next episode, we are going to talk about some compensation. It's posted on the AIA. We're going to talk about what that is, what they do. Mm-hmm. It's a survey, and it's a salary calculator for different regions. And we're also going to get into the real world.
What is architecture?
Again,
after a year and a half, maybe.
Well, every year, you know
our evolving.
Opinions, yeah, we evolve, our opinions change, people change.
Yeah.
Our aspect and view on things change.
Yeah.
Architecture is still the best thing ever in the world, and everybody else sucks. But, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not me.
See you later.
See ya.